Now back to Good Morning New Hampshire with Peter St. James and Pat Kelly on 107.7 The Pulse.
8:32 is the time, man.
I know.
Busy
Friday.
Yeah.
Busy Friday. I put that both in my tweet this morning and on Facebook. It's a busy Friday.
You did a tweet?
Yes, I did. Every morning.
Wow.
I'm on it. I'm tweeting. Well, it's springtime.
Oh, okay. Greg's back in the house, Concord Food Co-op. Good morning, Greg.
Good morning to you.
How are you?
Oh, doing well. Doing well. Working from home today and so not in the co-op parking lot this morning but for this call, but got a nice view out onto the water here today. So.
Oh, that's
different,
great.
Different setting.
Yeah, and it's a little rainy this morning, but the sunshine will come out, and that's kind of how we are all feeling during this time.
Is it scheduled for some sun today?
Not till tomorrow.
No.
Not till tomorrow.
No.
Not till tomorrow. But it is going to come back out, and we have to keep that in mind.
Absolutely.
Well, sooner or later, yeah. And also this morning, Dr. Cindy Croft, a wellness-focused family physician with us, talking about glyphosate. Good morning, Dr. Croft.
Good morning.
How are you?
Oh.
Good to have you with us this morning.
Yeah, thank you so much. Yeah, not too bad.
And also on the other line, somebody, and I've just been waiting to do this. she's back with us.
Abby who? Abby Normal. Abby Normal.
Abby.
I'm almost sure that was the name.
Okay.
That was good, Peter.
Yeah. Young Frankenstein. I had to get Abigail's back with us, and I've just been waiting to do Abby Normal. Abby Normal.
Good morning, everybody.
Abigail Mashinsky, herbalist and writer, lives in Concord. Serves as the education specialist at Mega Food Local Company that offers premium supplements made with real food from trusted farm partners that share a commitment to organic and regenerative agriculture. Oh, sorry, I had to do it, Abigail. I just
yeah. Perfect. Thank you.
Whenever I hear Abby, all I can think of is that shtick from Young Frankenstein. So, welcome.
Good morning. Yeah, thank you for having me on.
So we're starting to head back out into the gardens now. And I'm assuming I'm not, well, I can't use Roundup anymore, but we have moved away from bad things like Roundup, but mm-hmm. it doesn't just go away.
No. It doesn't, no. Glyphosate is, you know, the fancy term for the active ingredient in Roundup, mm-hmm. and you know, a lot of us are trying to avoid it, but it's actually still the number one pesticide that's being used in the U.S.
Wow.
in agriculture. But as you mentioned, we're using it on our lawns,
right?
Being used in parks and schools, so it's kind of ubiquitous and hard to escape.
And it's correct me if I'm wrong. If I remember right, it's an herbicide, but it's a desiccant that dries stuff out. That's how it kills it, right?
Yeah, so there's a couple of uses of glyphosate, kind of like the on-label use, which is as an herbicide. It's a broad-spectrum herbicide that kind of kills everybody. But farmers who are using conventional crops, not genetically modified crops, use it as a desiccant to dry out things like oats. And the big problem with that is it's done like right before harvest. So those things like oats and other grains are going to market to all of us with a lot of glyphosate still on them.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's Abby
mentioned, it is the number one in the world, actually, and they say there's over 300 million tons a year used just in agriculture, and about that much in forestry and then residential. I don't know if you've ever walked in any of our local hardware stores, but you can pick your flavor of glyphosate. Herbicide.
Oh, yeah.
And it really astounds me. But I think it really just goes back to just lack of knowledge. And it is, it's the half-life is varied on the soil conditionings. So if you have a really sandy soil, then one application might take a year and a half to degrade.
It's that long, a year and a half?
Well, if it, again, depends on the soil conditions, but if you have a really sandy soil, we got good drainage, about a year and a half. But if you have clay in your soil, it can go up to 22 years. And that's, again, a half-life is the degradation of just 50% of one application. And one application inhibits a plant. What it is, it's a cation chelator. So it blocks the plant's ability to absorb the positive minerals such that you might know calcium, magnesium, potassium.
Right.
And the plant needs those things to make photosynthesis and make nutrients in the plant. And those nutrients, when they're deficient in the plant, one application about 6 hours later, 80% of those nutrients are blocked from that plant absorbing it in the soil. And then what happens is that plant becomes nutrient deficient, can't make photosynthesis, stunts its growth. As Abby mentioned, then they'll get a double whammy by using it as a desiccant later on, right before harvest. And it's a very complicated process because glyphosate is also genetically engineered for plants to tolerate the glyphosate being used as a desiccant on the plant. So what that means is that the genetic shift within the plant being able to tolerate that poison putting on it, being sprayed around it, what happens is that genetic change then changes the plant's physiology, and it's producing new proteins we've never seen before. And these new proteins that then we're eating have anywhere from 20 to 200 new proteins are being discovered. And we're just barely starting to understand some of them. They have linked one they can check in saliva now that's found to increase infertility, miscarriages. But these new proteins, when we eat these plants who are basically empty calories, becoming empty calories for us, they become new allergens to our gut. And then the problem with us eating those foods, that our body's never seen these proteins, and the glyphosate can translocate from our gut microbiome into our healthy gut flora, causing our own gut microbiome to become dysbiotic and unhealthy appearing, and we can have inflammation in our gut. The whole thing is just so it's this cascade of what the genetic engineering theory was to save our world's problem with food issues has now become this massive experiment in all of us that we haven't even begun to understand. But what I'm seeing so much with unhealthy guts and leaky gut, people have now, you know, you hear the term leaky mouth, and now there's new research in this last year about leaky brain, and the contribution of this unhealthy gut flora is now translocating up into the brain, and there's a link now. I can't remember the name of the microbe, but it's associated with Alzheimer's now.
Okay. So, Cindy, when's the whole you're going to cheer me up thing start?
Well, the good thing is that knowledge is empowering, and I always like to tell my patients who see me to improve their own vitality, to get healthy, to understand, you know, why do I have these chronic diseases that nobody understands, and why do they just give me medicines, and I say, okay, let's take it back 1,000 years ago. Hippocrates said, let food be your medicine, and all disease starts in your gut. So he was so intelligent back then, and now we're seeing it in the science. And so how you can empower yourself is you have a choice growing things in your garden like that. Just like you said, don't buy stuff. Learn how to go to NOFA and go to these conferences that can teach you to make your soils healthy, make your plants start to actually feed us and regenerate our soils. You can test yourself. I send a link to my patients right on Amazon. There's several, but one that I like is Health Research and Institute Lab. They have a test. It's just about $100. You can test to see what your glyphosate level is and see, because I have people who tell me, oh, I eat organic. Well, let's just do toxin check. We check it, and they're like glyphosate. Like, how am I getting that?
Yeah.
And so you can test yourself. The other thing is that you can choose organic and local and go to those places and see where their neighbors are. Are their neighbors upstream using things on their plants?
Mm-hmm.
And then you can read up on there's books that have information on, you know, what are the most poisonous plants out there. There's Moms Across America that's, you know, specifically for this glyphosate education. There's lots of great things. And then, you know, you can make a choice when you're in the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Okay, your gut dysbiotic flora that we all tend to have now, and I'm seeing more and more,
Yep. They
actually will generate and tell you what they want to eat. So when you're in a grocery store, you get all these cravings for things that, you know you shouldn't be eating, and it's because of your gut dysbiosis. And if you can starve those bacteria in your gut by eating healthy, then those cravings go away. And so a lot of those tendencies to buy stuff that's unhealthy for you in the grocery store kind of goes away.
Oh, I thought it was the pleasure points in my frontal cortex going, oh, man, wouldn't that be good?
Well, it is complicated. You know, you do have memories of eating things and sugar stuff, too.
Yeah.
But a lot of it is so when I just cleanse people with changing their diet, right, just change your food, fix their diet, then they're like, oh, all my cravings just went away for all that stuff.
Yeah, funny how that works.
So it is, knowledge is empowering, but it is understanding. You know, a lot of people just don't even don't know about this stuff, and it amazes me. And they think when they go into the stores and they've got the advertising, right? You got the weed killers all right there, right next to everything else you're going to get in your garden.
Sure.
And and then work with someone like me to help you know, and to how do you do it? Make a plan. Test it to see. Validation sometimes is a big, poke to kind of encourage someone to change. You see it black and white. And then if you have a lot, if you have a really high glyphosate or other unhealthy things in you, then there are things like Abby and other companies I'm sure have that can help, and I can teach people about those. But the problem is I don't like telling people to take those things if you don't fix the base of it. It is just fixing your diet and the source, right? Keep eating it,
mm-hmm.
then you're going to have this supply still coming into you. So you got to always do what Hippocrates says, start with your food. And now we know our gut dysbiosis that we're seeing that's contributing to all these, this, you know, autism, autoimmune problems, cancer increase, right? California just had the lawsuit against glyphosate. We're seeing this rise, and you can track when glyphosate came on the market, and just an uptick in almost all causes.
Wow. Really hang on a sec, Cindy. I'm sorry, Greg, go ahead. I didn't hear you.
So Abby had said, I understand your diet is probably your number one place for your intake, but she had said it's everywhere. So to what degree is our environment for individuals walking in a park, if they're spraying, you know, the park? So, I mean, to what degree are we susceptible to it from the rest of our environment other than just our food intake?
Well, there's certainly the impact of, you know, having that physical contact with it. Ingestion is really going to disrupt, as the doctor indicated, our microbiome. The World Health Organization considers it carcinogenic. But when we have physical exposure to it, there's many individuals who have, you know, I have a coworker who had a dramatic physical reaction that left her in the ER because she went there to do her CrossFit. She went to the park to do her CrossFit workout, and her face actually swelled so much her eyes closed, and she had to be admitted to the ER. So it's still very much a toxin that in those instances in parks and playgrounds, we're having physical contact with it. It hasn't broken down. It hasn't been, you know, utilized by a plant in the way it was intended. So there's very much concerns about when we come into topical contact with that, and that's another thing that really concerns me about backyard use as well.
All right,
Not to mention killing the bees and all the wildlife back there.
Something nobody's talked about, and I'm curious. We're talking about the applications in the yard on the plants. Yep, got that. Okay. Day like today, it rains. It washes it off. It perks down in the soil and gets in the water system. Hello?
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. So what we've noticed is that I mentioned that birth defects, okay, have been on the rise. It gets in the water. So now what we're finding is that there's a shift of male fish actually becoming female. They're becoming sterile. There's, and this is across the world, there's researchers all around the world that are noticing increased sterile whole herds of deer and elk and buffalo and deformed beaks of birds that can't even get through their shells. It's spreading to every creature. It's affecting, like Abby mentioned, the bees. There's massive rates of birth defects in ourselves. We're seeing anencephaly. There's a huge problem in Yakima, Washington, having to do with glyphosate application. And a couple years later, there was an 8,000 increased incidence of anencephaly. It's disrupting everywhere. So I learned a lot of what I know of glyphosate from a very well-known world speaker, Don Huber, who's a physician and just decorated speaker and researcher. And he mentioned that this is the largest, you know, unintended experiment that we are exposing ourselves, every creature on the planet, and it's affecting everything. So,
wow.
So we will, yeah. So we're going to have an issue with, you know, we already do have an issue with our plants, or I mean, our fish and animals becoming sterile and reproductive deformities and issues.
So it really does come down to education at this point.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what. Before we carry on to that, we do have to take a break. Cindy, Greg, and Abby Normal. Sorry, I had to do it. We'll be back right after this. Friday, Concord Food Co-op. Greg Lessard, back with us. So, what's shaking at the co-op, Greg? Everything still going forward?
Yeah, everything's doing very well. As the curbside pickup is just been very, very well received. That service is just being utilized across the board. It has the employees that would otherwise be at home sitting on a couch, just flying all around the store, gathering orders for their customers. So that's working really well. And that's open to any shopper. You don't have to be an owner of the co-op to utilize that service. And we don't have a virtual store. You just go to our website, you use the form, and you just basically say, I want, you know, 5 tomatoes, half a gallon of 2% milk, whatever. So
gotcha.
Even though they don't have pictures to look at, it's still working very well. And I did want to mention that the co-op's produce department is 100% organic. Individuals are surprised about that at other places they have to search for the organic label. But anything you pick up in our produce department is 100% organic. And that makes it a little bit easier for shoppers as well. The store is still open. You can shop inside the store, and the vast majority of individuals are wearing masks at this point. The shoppers and all staff are wearing masks and gloves. So it's making it the safest environment we can possibly make it anyway.
Now, I know I asked you this before, but I got to mind like a sieve some days. Once things get to quote-unquote normal, are you going to keep the curbside service? Or will that be pared down?
Yeah, everyone that is utilizing the service now on the form, that's a question. Will you utilize the service, you know, after this virus has passed? And we're trying to get a sense if they, you know, it'll be utilized or not. We a year and a half ago had a full virtual store at you know, great expense and time,
sure.
And it wasn't utilized. So we're reluctant to just kick that back into gear and invest all those dollars again if after this it's not utilized again. So we're trying to get a sense. If the service will be utilized, we will certainly continue to provide it anyway.
Well, and at least you tried. You put an initial path out there. So if the people say they want it, it shouldn't be too hard for you to just fire it up and go.
Now, the time won't be as bad. It's you're under contract and upfront dollars, et cetera. So, you know, your break even's quite a ways down the road, and if no one uses it, you never break even on it. So
yeah, well,
we're just trying to get a sense of, you know, if it's used, then we will certainly put it out there.
Wow.
It certainly makes the online shopping a lot easier when you can see exactly what products you're purchasing.
Abigail Mashinsky, Dr. Cindy Croft, on with us today. We've talked, Greg and I have talked, and we've talked with the folks in agriculture. Over the past 5-10 years, really been a move to, I want to know where my food comes from. And it may have been from salmonella infections and recalls, you know, around the country, and it scared people. So is this drive to know where my food came from a step in the right direction for overall health and glyphosate, making it, understanding it, and trying to make it go away?
Well, I think absolutely. The more aware we are where our food comes from, the more connected we are to it. And I think the more we understand that it's not just something we eat to enjoy, it's what fuels us. It's what, you know, keeps us alive and provides all the nutrition that we need. So the more awareness we have around all aspects of our food production system, I think, is really important.
Cindy?
Yeah, and again, you mentioned those food recalls, and they're directly correlated to the application of these herbicides that, again, affect the chemate pathway of the plant and the soil dysbiosis that develops, which enables those pathogenic bacteria in the soil that the plant usually has the ability to deal with, to increase the Cryptococcus, the Clostridia species, Salmonella, the E. coli that was the problem in Arizona. And I think one step above that, not just knowing where our food comes from, but I would love to see labeling and some type of ability to test glyphosate in the foods that you're buying. So there's some type of number on the food that tells you that it's a one or whatever, you know, unit that you come up with that puts it on a spectrum, because I don't know if we can ever just get rid of glyphosate from all of our foods. Even organic foods are testing positive. Garbanzo beans are one of the top ones. Even organics are positive with glyphosate, because again, going back to the application of the soil condition and the half-life,
you know,
it gets in the water. So you can. So I'd love to see a labeling process or some tool that we could know.
And it makes sense, but to me, sitting on the sidelines, that just sounds like a bureaucratic nightmare, trying to get them to agree on something.
Well, we did it with the salt and the fat, and we have labels, and it's just pressure from all of us. And we're, like I mentioned from Dr. Huber's words, he said this is a massive world experiment. And so we need to be the pressure, just like we've got food labels now, right? Okay, so we need to just add it to the food label. NOFA presented a couple years ago when I went. There was some gentleman who had this new tool. It was about $200. It was coming out in a month or so. I don't remember what he was calling it. But you could go in the grocery store, and it was like a scanner, like they scan foods for the barcode. You could scan a food, and it would do an analysis of nutritional content in that food. And you could zap the food right there in front of you and say, oh, this is a good-looking one. Nope, this doesn't. So that way you're buying the nutrient-rich foods. I don't think he mentioned that it was looking for glyphosate, but something like that. There are creative people out there thinking about these things.
All right. Hey, Dr. Cindy Kroc,
we should all be thinking about
Abigail
it.
Mashinsky, Greg Lassard, Concord Food Co-op. Man, excellent. As always, Greg, thank you. You bring the best people to the table.
That's the only part I have to do. I go find the good ones, and I just listen to what they have to tell me.
Yeah, but see, your work's on the front end, so that's all good. Yep. We thank you for that. Have a fabulous weekend, all of you. Thank you.
Hey, thank you.
And
thanks
we will no doubt chat again.